going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So much going on today and tonight. I'll be down at One Bills Drive all night. We'll have all of your draft coverage for you all night long. Nate, Zach, Derek, Josh, everybody chiming in. I'll be down at One Bills Drive tonight, tomorrow night. They'll be around all day Saturday. We'll have all your picks covered for you, no doubt about that. And of course, you got Jeremy and Joe heading over to Resurgence, Whalen Brewery on Friday. It's going to be a great time. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe you want to go out and play golf, by the way, in this 70-degree weather today. Don't forget, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card for just one low price of $129. Unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit Road in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds are going to benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at GetMyPerks.com. All right, I have my mock at WGR550.com. I posted it on Twitter, at Sal Sports. You can react to that. That is Getting Connected with Our Fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at NorthtownKia.com. Also, presenting his mock draft is on their podcast, The Buffalo End Zone, is Andy Young from Spectrum News One. Joins me now on the Wester Hotline. You have your mock. I have my mock. Who really knows what the heck's going to happen tonight? Thanks for joining me, buddy.
Hey, no problem. I said when we did a live mock draft on our podcast, I said we'd make a mockery of it. We had a few fans chiming in that said, hey, Kevin and Andy, don't do a mock draft ever again. So maybe that tells you something about what I know about mock drafting.
Listen, I will say, though, I'll let you reveal it, but if the draft fell the way you have it mocked, I would be very happy for the Bills, Andy. This is maybe my dream scenario, believe it or not, what you have for the Buffalo Bills. But the reason I don't have it is because I got the guy you have. I have him going a little bit earlier in round one, but I love your first round. I love your second round. The question would be maybe the injury concern. Tell everybody what you have.
Yeah, first round we ended up with Derek Harmon out of Oregon, big defensive tackle who has some versatility, we think, to play one technique or slide over and play some three technique. So we love that. That's pretty good, right? And then in the second round, the first pick of the second round for the Bills, Darian Porter out of Iowa State, the long, rangy, fast, athletic cornerback. And I think that certainly fills a spot. And then with the second pick, we ended up on wide receiver, which I don't think is the pressing need, but I think if they find the right guy, they might go for it. And that pick, we went with Jalen Royals out of Utah State.
Okay, so I have Derek Harmon going a little bit earlier. I think that he's one of the more highly rated defensive tackles. Do you think he would possibly get to 30? Because in your exercise here with Kevin, did he get there because maybe the injury concern?
Yeah, we used the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator, and he had slid down. So there was a few defensive tackles who had slid down. There are some injury issues there, and I think that I've seen him all over the board. I've seen him up in the high 20s, the early 20s, all the way down to mid-second round. So I think that wildly fluctuates as far as the mock drafts go of where this guy can be. I just look at the size, the skills, the traits, the production, and think, you know, if you're okay with his injury history, that, my God, that'd be a home run pick for the Bills.
Yeah, he has a this week it just popped up, a shoulder that people are a little concerned about, a little red flag there. I still have him going 17th to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that could happen. I have him going ahead of Kenneth Grant. That's a guy that a lot of people love for the Bills. If you're going to stick at this position, was Kenneth Grant still on the board, and what would you think about his fit in Buffalo?
Kenneth Grant was not on the board. He had also, I think, gone a few picks before that, if I recall right, in this, you know, projection here. And I would love him for the Bills, too, either of those guys. I think it would be a dream scenario if Harmon or Kenneth Grant fell. I think, like you've said many times, they need a physical force in that spot that can play that one technique spot and can hold up against the run game. We heard Brandon Bean talk about it in his pre-draft media availability, that if that guy can really stop the run, that adds to the value, because we know that's something the Bills have struggled with at times over the years. And then if they've got the potential to add some juice in the pass rush too, I think that's huge. We watched how the Philadelphia Eagles took care of business. We've watched how Chris Jones has taken care of business for the Chiefs. And it starts up front with that defensive line, because if you can't get to the quarterback, it doesn't matter who you got in the back end, it's trouble, because these guys at that level are so good, they can pick you apart. So, you know, guys who can stuff the run and generate some pass rush juice, I think that's huge, and it's something the Bills have really lacked.
I know this is a lot dependent on the board, how it falls in value, but I notice you don't have the Bills in your mock taking an edge rusher. Do you think that's an area where you could still see it happening, but it just didn't happen in your particular mock, or is it something that you think the Bills are a little bit more comfortable than some fans seem to think they are? They should be.
No. I would have liked to have taken an edge. I just didn't see the value in the guys that were left the way the board fell. I mean, there's certainly a case to be made that you could even take one in the first round. I've seen a lot of guys fall. A lot of talk about James Pierce or Shamar Stewart, one of these guys kind of falling down. So that was kind of the glaring hole for me in our first three rounds of the draft. After that, it's kind of a crapshoot. You're just picking guys, right? You know, based on positional need, you know, some skills and things like that. So I think certainly edge is absolutely on the table with any of the three first picks.
We have had a really good discussion this morning about safety, because suddenly there's the safeties being mocked to the Bills by a lot of the national writers, and especially Malachi Starks, but also you have Nick Emmanuori. My position is, Andy, and you tell me if you agree, disagree, what you think about this. My position is, while fans or media may think the Bills should do that, I just don't think the Bills are going to do it. I the way they've operated at the position, I think they're much more comfortable with Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop than what fans believe they should be.
That's my initial inclination, is that because they have Taylor Rapp for two more years, because they invested a second-round pick in Cole Bishop, that they'd like to roll with that and get another year of those two together. They didn't get a whole ton of time together, right? And then, of course, you have DeMar Hamlin, who can start in a pinch if you need him to. I think they'd love to elevate Bishop into that role. But I do wonder, as I kind of notice the same things you do with all these different mock drafts, if there's some smoke to that, if there's some smoldering that maybe they weren't so happy with how that played out. And, you know, their coverage kind of lacked at times. Outside Christian Benford and outside Taron Johnson, their coverage in the passing game lacked last season. I think that was kind of a bit of an Achilles heel. Now, you can blame that on pass rush and not getting home, those sorts of things. But at the same time, I think maybe there is a possibility, if the right guy fell to them, that maybe they could upgrade that. What that would mean for Taylor Rapp or Cole Bishop if, say, they were to draft Malachi Starks or Nick Emmanuori in the first round, I don't know how that would all play out. That would be very interesting to see how they would utilize those type of guys. Is that a case for, if you say bring in Emmanuori, that you have more of a big nickel package that you haven't really had, that we heard so much about in the past, and then you can ease a guy like that in? I do think that when the Bills' defense was at its best, they had two really good safeties in Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, and I don't think they got that style of play. I mean, it's hard to replace those guys. They were both all pros at different times in their careers, but I think they'd like to get better at safety. I just don't know that, unless somehow the right guy fell to them, that they would want to take that with a first-round pick. That seems like an odd use of resources, but it wouldn't shock me some point throughout the draft that they do take a safety and try to bring in a young guy. Now, I could be completely wrong on that, but I think that kind of takes it off the table for me in the first round.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to draft one. I just don't think it's as early as what we've seen here over the last 24 hours and people, this groundswell of that happening early. But I do agree that they could draft one. One theory I have, though, is it possible? Could you see this maybe, Andy, that maybe it's getting out there in some way, shape or form. The Bills want it out there. There's somehow that, if they start to kind of feel like if teams think they might draft either Starks or Evan Worry there, that becomes a spot where they think teams might want to come up and trade into, right? Like, hey, wait a minute, we can't let the Bills take him. We're hearing the Bills are going to take a guy there. It fits for them. Let's go get to 30 to get our guy, and then the Bills can move down, and maybe it's something like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, if they think that one of those guys is in that top first-round grade category, and we know that Brandon Bean said they definitely don't have 30 first-round grades on guys, right? So if one of those guys were to slip and they say, all right, a team wants to come up and get that guy, that begs the question to me, is this another year where they could trade back? Because if I think Tony Pauline reported, they only have 12 first-round grades on guys. Well, the odds of those guys getting to 30 are slim, so that's certainly a prime spot where they either are going to move up, way up, to get a guy that they want with a first-round grade, or they move back like they did last season, back into the second round. Maybe you acquire another third round pick, which you don't have to do so. And then you still draft a corner, defensive tackle, an edge guy that you think is in that second tier, but there's value in that second round and in that third round as well.
Andy Young joining me right now here from Spectrum News One. All right, let's talk about trades. Could you see a scenario the Bills say, well, we don't have 30 first round grades. We only have, 15, let's say, just throwing out a number. It could be possible. And now somebody gets past 15, 16, 17. Now you're in the low 20s, just like 2022, just like 2023. Kyrie Elam, Dalton Kincaid. Suddenly Brandon Bean says, you know what? I'm going to go up and get a guy. I don't want to wait to 30 to take a guy in the first round who has a second round grade when I can actually just go up and get a guy who actually has a first round grade.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a possibility. And I think with 10 picks and with some ammo there that they absolutely would do that. We know Brandon Bean loves to be jumpy and make those trades. I think throughout his time, he's shown the willingness to move up. Do I think they go up into the, early teens? No. But early 20s, that's certainly a possibility. We've seen a track record of him doing that. And if they love Kenneth Grant or they love whoever it might be and they think, man, at 24, we need to go up to get that guy or else he's not going to be there and we really love that guy, I think it's certainly a possibility that they rise up and, give up, second day picks, that kind of thing, to get up there, or a third day pick, a couple of them to move up, because they're not going to roster 10 rookies, right? They're going to move around the board at some point. It's whether they do that early or in the mid rounds, which they've done in the past as well.
Andy Young joining me here on Western Hotline. Do you think 10 guys make this roster? And if not, how does that change the thinking of Brandon Bean?
No, I don't think they do. However, I know that we talked about it a lot last year that younger guys are going to have to be contributors because they poured so many big money contracts into Josh Allen and Christian Benford, Greg Rousseau, all these different guys, Khalil Shakir, Terrell Bernard, that you've still got big contracts for Dawkins and, all Spencer Brown, right? So they've got to get contributions from rookies and young players on cost control deals. However, 10 guys, that seems like a stretch when a lot of times, 5 or 6 only make the roster coming out. So I think certainly it would lead me to think that they'll move up at some point, use some of those picks to move around the board and go after guys they really like, because I cannot see 10 rookies, especially most of those picks being in the back end of the draft, making this roster.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, I thought the same thing last year, but 8 guys did make it out of 10. It was a little bit more of a transition last year than even this year, so right. I think it is tougher. However, that said, they do have 2 guys on suspensions for 6 games, right? Like, there might be a little more opportunity than we're thinking about because of Ogunjobi, because of Michael Hoyt, and now saying, okay, we got to kind of have an ability, to replace these guys when it comes down to it. When you look around the roster right now, let's just go pure need, not best players, not talented. Look around the roster right now. If I said, what are the top 3 needs for this team heading into the draft? What are they?
It's defensive tackle, it's cornerback, and it's a tie between edge rusher and wide receiver. Wide receiver, I think, a little less than edge rusher, because if you think about it, Joey Bosa, short contract, AJ Epenesa, only 1 year left. So they've got to replenish that stock too. I know they have got a lot of high hopes in Javon Solomon, but we haven't seen it fully yet. So I think to pair somebody with Greg Rousseau, I think looking at edge rusher in those first 2 days, certainly definitely a possibility. I think cornerback, definite need. I think it lessens the blow a little bit just because of Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson, that if they don't have a guy right away that can start, or they have a developmental guy that they feel, okay, we can survive this season. But I think definitely on the front lines, edge, defensive tackle, look at what they have there, right? Not a whole lot. Daquan Jones, expiring contract after this season, and older guy, right? So I think there's certainly room for those three spots, and wide receiver would probably be my fourth.
Yeah, I understand at wide receiver, too, and I think it's a really good debate. I just feel the Bills really want a specific type of wide receiver. Same thing, by the way, for defensive tackle. We talked about they need a bigger guy, a bigger-bodied guy at defensive tackle. I think they want a speed receiver, a guy that can come in and play part-time, maybe develop into a whole football player. Here's my issue at wide receiver, Andy. Whenever someone brings him up early, first couple of rounds, I don't know where he's playing. I mean, are you putting him on the field of Khalil Shakir? No. Are you suddenly going to overdraft Keon Coleman? I don't think so. They just gave $9 million a year to Joshua Palmer. I mean, I just don't see how that fits.
Right. And I wonder, too, we talked about trading up. What if Matthew Golden somehow fell to 22 or 24? Do they want to go up and that's the speed guy that we need? That's our Z receiver, right? I don't think he's an X. I think he's definitely a Z receiver who can win at all levels. That's the only place where I see that. Otherwise, I think it would be later on in the draft, a different guy that they can use. Speed definitely is what they need. They need a field stretcher. They need somebody that can win vertically, that they still have not really addressed that and haven't really had that guy since like almost a John Brown, right? That a continual winner. Obviously, Steph Diggs could win in those situations. We saw a lot of deep balls go Diggs' way at certain times. If they were able to get like a number one alpha receiver, I don't think they would pass that up at all. But you're right. I think in the way that they're constructed now, we heard more talk about everybody eats Josh Allen wearing a freaking everybody eats established 2024 hat. That I think they still believe that Allen can, you know, is the tide that raises all ships and can elevate guys. So they're looking for guys with roles. They got their separator in Palmer. They've got their slot guy. They've got their big blocking X physical force in Keon Coleman that they hope arises and steps up. Now it's that speed element, that vertical speed element down the field.
All right, so we have a situation here with James Cook, his contract. He's not at, you know, voluntary workouts to start. Brandon Bean says, don't assume it's contract related. I think we all see what's happening here, though, and I understand why people would assume that, and I would assume that. We don't know how this is going to play out, but do you think there's a possibility the Bills take a running back in this draft? And if so, how high could they take him based on the James Cook situation?
My one wild card to this draft is if, and I don't think it's going to happen, I'm not predicting it happens, but it's out there. If they somehow decide that they want to trade James Cook, then all bets are off. If you think you need Omarion Hampton or one of these other guys that in this talented running back class, if you trade him tonight and then you draft a running back, that could be a whole different story. I don't see that happening. I'm not predicting it. But there is that little one wild card in the back of my mind. So if that doesn't happen, if James Cook is not traded for whatever reason tonight, then I think that running back would be fine to take later in the draft, fourth, fifth round, that type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's a spot where I could see a guy because it's a deep draft, and you just never know. You got to have guys come into camp. They do have five guys right now on the roster, obviously, but come on, they could replace Darrington Evans with a draft pick, right? I mean, you could do that between now and training camp if you want at some point. I could see something like that happening, but man, I'd be really surprised if they took somebody before the fourth round. After that, I could see it. I mean, last year, Ray Davis was a fourth round pick, right? I mean, it's not just James Cook. You'd have to say, not only are you guarding against James Cook, Andy, you'd have to say, okay, we also think this guy would play pretty much over Ray Davis or Ty Johnson.
Right, and that's exactly it. I think that would also be important for them to possibly have a guy that has some ability in the return game as well, that maybe isn't just a thumper, but is more of a versatile threat, that then they could justify having, you know, four or five running backs. And I mean, I'm a proponent of, if you want to take a running back every year in the fifth, sixth round, and maybe you find a diamond in the rough and you move on from a different guy and you kind of keep replenishing that stock, that's great. But to invest early again, I mean, with Cook, with Davis, with all these different guys, I don't think you need to do that unless you make some drastic move to get rid of one of those guys.
Andy Young joining us here. A couple more minutes with Andy. I just want to talk about in general for the draft. When you went through this exercise, when you've done mocks, I do this and I'm like, oh my God, like this is a year where anything can happen. Anything surprise you? Is there a pivot point? For me, it's Jacksonville at 5. I think they can go any different way here. I guess the Giants could be a wild card because could they get back into it? Could they draft a quarterback? All those things are true, but anything kind of stand out to you about how this thing could flow tonight?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of edge guys that I keep seeing falling in mock drafts, and I'm wondering why, like a James Pierce, right? Like a Shamar Stewart. We know about Shamar Stewart and his athletic profile, but lack of production on the field. And so that has kind of surprised me because edge rushers are such coveted positions, right? And so do some of those guys slip down further than we think, and then the Bills have a chance at those guys. Obviously, the whole deal with Jackson Dart, with Shedeur Sanders, different quarterbacks, that always changes the dynamics of what a draft is because teams will reach for those guys because, as Brandon Bean has said, if you get the quarterback right, who gives a crap what you traded to get him? So, you know, could certainly see, does Pittsburgh go after Shedeur Sanders? Do the Giants trade back and get it back into the picture? Any of these teams that are quarterback hungry, do they do that and take a shot on Dart, Sanders, whoever else it might be? So that's certainly the pivot point for me, and I think Ashton Jeanty is huge. Who wants to take the best running back in the class, and how high do they want to take him?
All right, buddy. Enjoy tonight. What do you guys got going on tonight? What's your coverage going to be like tonight?
Yeah, we've got some preview shots coming up this afternoon. We'll have that on Spectrum News, kind of talking about, you know, what's to come. We'll hear from Brandon Bean. We'll do some stuff on social media, Kevin Carroll and myself, and then we'll kind of hunker down. I'll probably be sitting right next to you in our usual spots right in the media room there, and we'll do that, and then we'll have a podcast on first thing tomorrow morning, Buffalo End Zone podcast, kind of reacting to whatever happens in the first round. One of our best, most covered podcasts we ever did that got the most engagement was last season, the Friday morning after, when they decided to trade that pick to Kansas City, and people were going bananas over was that the right move or the wrong move, and the whole Xavier Worthy deal. So, you know, we'll see if any kind of fireworks like that happen, but we'll have a fresh one on tomorrow morning.
All right, save me a spot, buddy. I appreciate it. I can't wait to be near you for the next 3 days, basically, and grab a cot and sleep down there, basically, is what we do.
Hey, we'll get to know each other pretty well, man.
We already do. Thanks a lot, Andy. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, that is Andy Young. He is at Spectrum News One. Does a great job covering the Bills. Go check him out. Him and Kevin Carroll doing the Buffalo End Zone podcast. And, yeah, they do a great job there. And, again, tonight, going to go down there and hang out and, you know, see what happens with the Buffalo Bills. It'll be a long night. Last year was a long night and even got longer and longer and longer and ultimately did not actually have a pick for the Buffalo Bills in the first round. So that's happening tonight. And, of course, everything gets started at 8 p.m. tonight, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. How will the entire first round play out? Good question. Because I think this year is a year that anything can really happen. And I mean, especially after I think the first three picks, I guess you could have some movement in the first three, but I think it's Ward, Hunter, Carter. I think Will Campbell's pretty set now at 4 from what people are saying. And that's where I have, that's the tackle from LSU going to the Patriots. 5 is really the, as I said, pivot point for me. So much smoke lately about Ashton Jeanty going to the Jags, about the Bears trading up for Ashton Jeanty at number 5. I don't do trades in my mocks because I just think it throws everything off. You get one trade wrong, and how do you predict a trade? Then the whole thing falls apart. So I just keep it where it is and try to do my best and whatever trades happen. And this year, there are no trades right now, so we'll see. I have the Jags at 5 not taking Jeanty, although I think he is possible. I have them taking Tet McMillan. And the reason is because he has been very comped to Mike Evans, the wide receiver of Tampa. Well, who is the new Jaguars head coach? Liam Cohen. He was the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think he'd love to get a guy like Mike Evans. It didn't work out yet with Gabe Davis and them. Had some injuries last year. Didn't really hit on that. They did draft Brian Thomas Jr., and that did work out. But I think they need another weapon. He wants another weapon. He wants to throw the ball for Trevor Lawrence. And I think Tet McMillan could very well be the pick. Although, I will tell you, not shocked if they take an offensive lineman there. Not shocked if they take Mason Graham there. And not shocked if they take Ashton Jeanty. I think that is the spot. After that, I do have Ashton Gentry going to the Raiders. To me, that is one of the most slam dunk types of picks if he's available. Raiders could surprise everybody. I think Gentry to the Raiders is something that very, very well could happen, provided he's there. And then I have what some do at number 7, but not a ton. Who's playing tight end for the Jets? I mean, think about for the Jets for a second. They don't really have a tight end. They got a bunch of no-names, basically. You know, no disrespect, but guys who've never really done much in the league. They brought in Justin Fields. They want him to have kind of easier throws, I'm sure, not have to sit back there behind an offensive line that's going to get him beat up. I know they need offensive line help. And their new head coach is Aaron Glenn, who just came from Detroit. I know he's a defensive guy, but they drafted Sam Laporta in Detroit. Look what happened there. So I have Tyler Warren, the tight end, going to the Jets at 7 from Penn State. And that means Mason Graham falls all the way down to 8 because some people think he can go top 5, top 6. I have Mason Graham at 8 to the Panthers. And then Armon Membu, who could go to the Jets, I have him at 9 to the Saints. And a lot of people asked, what do you mean? The Saints aren't going to take a quarterback? Maybe. Maybe they jump back into the first round. Maybe they do. I have them taking an offensive lineman who, if he drops that far, could be the most talented player still left on the board. And then, just to wrap up my top 10, I do have two running backs going to the first round. I think the Bears do want a running back. They need a running back. Omarion Hampton is the guy I have going to the Bears with number 10. I could see them trading up, but if they stay where they are, again, think about who their coach is. Ben Johnson, where'd he come from? Detroit Lions, using two running backs, using this type of running back who can really run downhill to help out Caleb Williams, take some pressure off him. I think it's not what I've seen a lot of, two running backs in the top 10, but I have it. So there you go. That's my top 10. Check it out, WGR550.com. Check it out at Sal Sports as well. Make sure you reply and you know, interact. And that, of course, is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at NorthtownKia.com. All right, more draft talk. Call your shot. Going to open up the phone lines right now for the last half hour of the show. 803-0550. Call your shot. Who are the Bills taking? Who do you want them to take? What do you want them to do tonight? Trade up, trade down, take a specific player? What?
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Ever it is, it's on the table right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
And it's ran like a pro-type university. They do a really good job of preparing us for the next level, and they treat you like a pro the first day you step in there. So just kind of, when you're there, you have no choice but to learn how to be a pro. So just taking that and running with it, and just having the advice of God's authority, and he just, you know, coming back and giving tips and telling me to be myself. You know, handle it like a business and stay true to myself. I think those are the biggest things. And like I said, the university really did a great job of preparing us for the next level.
I apologize, Josh. Did you say that's Malachi Starks? Is that who that is? Yeah, okay, thank you. And that is, he is the safety from Georgia. I love what he said right there, and he's right. You know, you think about these Georgia guys that have translated to the league. I mean, the Eagles have done such a great job, especially with their defenders that they've taken from Georgia, and look where they are, and they're Super Bowl champs, and they have several of them. There's no doubt about that. You know, Malachi Starks would be another one I think you can transition, and he's right. The way they prepare, it's a pro program. A lot of these colleges are becoming that. They already have been, even more so now with NIL. And paying them, right? But you're right, and he's right. And that's why I think a guy like, I have Tyreek Williams going to the Bills in my mock because that's the way the board fell. And I think about that, which is he'd be coming from a program that produces pro players and runs its program like an NFL program, more so than a lot of others do. And you'd already have a guy that's ready to kind of step in and understand that aspect of life and that aspect of football. So I do think it matters like that. It's funny, earlier today we had on Matt Jaworski. Matt is a local kid who grew up in Hamburg, went to St. Francis High School, and then went to Fordham, and he became the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year. And he said St. Francis High School groomed him well to understand what the college, you know, what college football would be like. And I think that does matter, and it does help you a lot. You get guys come in the league, get guys come in the NFL, they just don't have the wherewithal to be able to step right in right away, and the resources and the knowledge and the understanding of what's going to be like to have money, to have adults around you all the time, guys with families, you know, and getting out of work schedule. It's different. It's just different, you know, and I think that matters to the Bills. It's not an end all be all, but it matters. It's also a reason why we keep hearing things about like Keon Coleman. And what did we hear this week again from Josh Allen? Keon Coleman's young. Reminder, he's still really young, right? He's gonna get bigger. He's going to get stronger. He's going to understand what it takes throughout a season. And I agree with that. It doesn't mean it's going to work necessarily. Doesn't mean that he's guaranteed for anything. But we do have to keep that in mind. Keon Coleman is very young. And I think the Bills feel that way about Keon Coleman, which is why I say I don't think they're taking a wide receiver that early in this draft. A lot of people, I mean, Mike and Chris in the afternoon, I mean, Shope has loved Luther Burden for a long time. Luther Burden's a fantastic player. He might be a great NFL player. Emmanuel Abaku, I like a lot from Ohio State. I think he has a high, high floor. He's going to be a really good player in this league. I just don't think the Bills are going to do something like that. It doesn't, to me, make sense based on what they do, how they operate, and what the roster looks like right now. What did I say about Egbuka? Sorry about that. Emeka Egbuka. He's the Ohio State receiver. There's a couple of names in this draft. Nick Emmanwori. I think that one's all right. But how about the kid from Boston College? Azaraku. Donovan Azaraku. I believe that's how you say it now. I've been trying to practice that one just in case, because you never know. I like him a lot. Could he fall to the Bills at 30? But wide receiver is a spot where a lot of people have talked about. And I look at their wide receiver group right now, and I'm going to say the same thing I say about wide receiver as I do about safety for people. And it's, you have to understand the difference here. You listening right now, person who called earlier, first caller of the day. Oh, I disagree about safety. This is how they need to view it because this is what they have. Okay, that's fine. But it's not how they view it. That's not to me, it's not. I could be totally wrong, unless I think the Bills have a major shift in philosophy, or they just really love a guy so much, which is possible. You can think they should view something some way. It's what they actually view and how you get to a certain conclusion of what they're going to do. And that's what I always try to bring. So I'm going to say this at wide receiver again. Khalil Shakir just got paid. He's here. He's getting good money. And he's their number one guy. When I say number one, he's not a true like number one wide out in the sense of a Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, a Stephon Diggs, but he's their number one guy, right? Like the guy that you look for and eats up most of the more targets than other guys and whatever. They just drafted Keon Coleman with the top pick of the second round last year. Not a first round pick, but essentially kind of like that, right? He's young. Don't forget he's young. Everybody tells us he's young. He was on a really nice path last year. Sean McDermott said he was getting dominant at points. You think they don't love that guy and what his potential at least is? I think they do. But they were definitely soured on how everything went with him at the end of the year. It doesn't mean they're throwing him out and saying he's not going to be good. It means they just want to recapture that and say, how do we get him back to there? But certainly you could see how they would have faith that they can do that, right? Then they signed Josh Palmer to $9 million a year. Now, you don't have to love that deal. That's fine. I also have some reservations about how much money that is for a guy. What is he going to be able to do here? He fits a specific skill set. But with that money in this room, that's telling me he's going to play. That's already three spots down, folks. Okay? Then you have Curtis Samuel, who last year got $8 million a year. Go listen to Josh Allen and others, but especially Josh recently, talk about Curtis Samuel and how much towards the end of the year when he was healthy, big play in the playoff game against the Broncos, what he was able to do and kind of building on that. I think that means that, you know, they're really kind of all in on him still being a really big part of what they might be able to do on offense. Doesn't mean he's going to be on the field for 90% of the snaps, but I think that he's still factors in their plans. That's four. Where is this other wide receiver coming from? What's he going to do? The only thing I'd see, and by the way, I'm not even counting and talking about Tyrell Shavers, who looked good in training camp. We thought he might make the team. He didn't. And then gets one touch against the Jets at the end of the year and scores a touchdown. I'm not talking about KJ Hamler, Jalen Virgil, or even Laviska Shenault, which is really more of a kick returner, but still has some skill, who the Bills said they liked coming out of the draft a few years ago. That's why I'm not in on wide receiver for them, because I don't think they're in on wide receiver. There are guys I like. I just don't see it happening. Same thing at safety. To get us back to there, big discussion today. We've had it. I went on the morning show this morning. I saw WGR tweeted out. By the way, YouTube. This is on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube now, on the morning show and the afternoon show. And I haven't said this in a while, but if you're not watching our shows on YouTube in the morning or in the afternoon, you're missing out. This show's not on YouTube right now, maybe eventually. But I'm telling you, morning show, Jeremy and Joe on YouTube. Afternoon show, Show Up with the Bulldog on YouTube. Super awesome. Got a great, what they call bullpen. It's a chat box. Everybody's there. Live chat going on. I jump in there sometimes. Got a great community there that's a part of it. But the other thing is you can kind of scroll back and forth really easy. You know what I do? I put on YouTube for Mike and Chris or for Jeremy and Joe, and I just leave it on and listen. And then once in a while, peek in and look. But you can just listen that way. And it's super cool. And it's also available in Canada. Our Odyssey app doesn't work in Canada for Canadian listeners. YouTube does. If you're a Canadian listener, you have friends or family, they're Canadian listeners and haven't been able to listen to WGR in a while, tell them to find us on YouTube and you can start listening and watching now. And then after these shows, they put out these, like, you know, little highlights and clips and segments. And I saw, we tweeted out today, Sal Capaccio, Jeremy and Joe got heated about safety. It was a good discussion. I wouldn't say I was heated, but it was a good discussion. And the reason I say it that way is we just had a disagreement on, you know, it's not even how to view these safeties or where they would play with Buffalo. The issue is a lot of you just tell me, and think, well, this is what the Bills should do. How do you look at the roster? You play general manager. That's fine. That's cool. That's what this time of year is about. You should play general manager. It's fun. I try to tell you what I think the team's going to do. Not what I would do if I was the team GM. And I'm telling you, I'd be surprised if they take a safety in the first round. I think they're going to draft one later in the draft. Because safety to me, and I'm going back and forth again with people on X about this morning. People think I'm saying that, oh my God, the Bills are all set at safety. Sure, you could draft Malachi Starks. Maybe he's better than Taylor Rapp. Nick Amemori, I really love. I think he can play in the NFL. I don't think the Bills feel that they need to do something on top of Taylor Rapp or Cole Bishop right now. That's kind of the reason they signed DeMar Hamlin to come back and be a little more insurance. I know you don't love that. You don't love hearing that. It's not a lot of money, but that's why. That's why they signed Derek Forrest from the Commanders. Four-year player. He's put some time in. He's played in a similar system. Can play special teams. And let's not forget they have Cam Lewis. I know, right? Not names that scream to you, oh my God, these are great playmakers. I get it. Somebody told me this morning, tweeted at me, that, well, then if they're going to go with that group, they're just going to keep getting beat over the top. What? They allowed the fifth fewest 20-plus yard pass plays in the league last year. They didn't get beat over the top all the time. They did when Cole Bishop came in against Houston by Nico Collins. Terrible play. They did against the Denver Broncos in the playoff game. Terrible. Yeah, I know. It can happen. I think the Bills feel they can make those guys better still by adding to their defensive line, by adding to the pass rush, by having better corners, which I think they'll still try to upgrade in this draft. But that's why I'm where I am on safety. And the reason why it's a discussion is so many people are talking about safety. All these national people are linking the Bills with safety. Malachi Starks, Nick Amemori. As I sit here right now, let me say it this way. If I'm sitting in the Bills media room tonight, and they're on the clock at 30, and it comes across that they take a safety, I'll be surprised. But it doesn't mean that I don't think the guy can't come in and play. Because there is certainly a defense and argument for that. I'll be surprised because I don't think they view that spot, that position in the first round as being someone who can come in right away and play over the guys they have because of how they've treated the position in years past. I'll be the first to tell you, the Bills play younger players more than people realize. They always do. They play Christian Benford right away. They play Osiris Torrance right away. But that is a position where they back off on that. That safety has always been that. Safety is a spot where they usually don't play guys super early unless they have to. You can make an exception if he's that good. Fascinating. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Thursday draft day here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right. What do we got? How many hours left here? Eight? A little over 8 hours.
The ESPN commissioner steps up. 8 hours and 7 minutes.
8 hours and 7 minutes, baby. So if you're wondering how late you're going to be up tonight, if the Bills actually pick at pick number 30, it is probably about 11:30. I looked back last year. 11:30 was when the pick number 30 was made. And the year before, right around that time, pretty much every year. So, yeah, that's what's going on tonight. We're going to be all over it for you here, WGR Sports Radio 550. And want to let you know, I want to pull this up to make sure everybody knows what we have going on. All right, here we go. Nate, Zach, Derek hosting draft coverage. Starts at 7 p.m. tonight, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, 11 a.m. on Saturday, every round, every pick. I will be on location, of course, from One Bills Drive. So make sure you're checking us out. Also, everybody, make sure you're joining us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. If you're not a rider, don't worry. You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Check it out right there. All right, tonight, the Bills pick number 30. We don't know if they're actually going to be on the clock that time. Stay with us all day long. Sabres live up next. One Bills live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. A lot more coverage. I'll be joining them. I'll be down at One Bills Drive. Enjoy draft night 2025, the first round tonight.